Psalm 62 is where we begin today's study. Psalm 62, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. David writes, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him." He says, "My soul finds rest in God alone." People do not know that God is sufficient until all they have is God. People don't fully understand that having God is all that one needs. Now, I know sometimes people, Christians, will say, God is all you need. But you really don't understand that until he's all that you have. People don't fully understand that having God alone is all that one needs to be at rest on the inside until all they have left is God, until they've lost everything else. Verse 2, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. In other words, why panic when trouble hits? God is my protector. That's the kind of confidence in God that anyone can experience if they draw close to him and if they stay close to him. Verse 3, how long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? In other words, what kind of satisfaction are you getting from whipping up on a poor, pathetic guy like me? Verse 4, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Two-faced liars, betrayers, two-faced. This is what he has experienced. And you know, some people have a hard time trusting anyone, because they've been burned so many times by so many people who talk nice, but then turned around and took advantage of them. Verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. When you feel like you can't trust anyone, you can still trust God. The Bible says, my father and my mother may forsake me, but you never will, God. You can always trust in him. 6, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. God does not need any help from anyone to give us what we need. God alone can handle things. 7, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Our salvation depends on God. Not on us. We won't be punished for our sin because Jesus was already punished for our sins. God took care of it. We're not good enough to get into heaven, but Jesus makes us good enough. Again, God took care of it. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. It's easy to say, I trust God when all is well. But God wants us to trust him at all times. In other words, trust him even when it seems like everything is crumbling. Hang on tight and keep living for him. Verse 9. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. That's from God's estimation. What he is saying is, compared to God, people are absolutely nothing. Not even a breath. Even the greatest of people would weigh less than air if weighed on God's scale. If God put people on his scale, the digital numbers would read minus something. 10. Do not trust in extortion, or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. He's saying don't get rich through dishonesty. But if you work hard and you get rich, you know, and God gives you riches through your hard work, that's good. But don't trust in them instead of God. Enjoy them, but don't trust in them. Don't make them into an idol. He says, do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. 11. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. These two verses tell us something very important about God, important for our sakes. They say that God is loving and he is strong. It is important that he is both of those. If God was loving but not strong, we couldn't rely on him, because although he would want what is best for us, he couldn't always do what was best for us. Not if he's just loving but not strong. If God was strong but not loving, we'd be in trouble too. In fact, we'd probably be in even bigger trouble, because he might get sick of us. And he might slap us around just for kicks. So we are fortunate that God is strong and God is loving. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land, where there is no water. This should be normal for every Christian. There should be a thirst, a deep desire to spend time with God that simply will not go away until it happens. There should be times when we are so hungry to hear from God, so hungry to get into God's Word, it would feel like we'd bust if we don't get it. Verse 2, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. So he had tasted God in the past. He had fellowship with God in the past, and that's why he wants more of God right now. That's why he thirsts so much for the Lord, because he has tasted him already. You got a glimpse of it. 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. The love of God is better than life itself. Better to be loved by God and experience his loving kindness than it is to even be alive physically. So if the only way one can keep their relationship with God is to give up their physical life, then that's what they should do. If it comes down to taking a bullet or having your head chopped off, like in the case with John the Baptist, or renouncing Almighty God, take the bullet. Experiencing the loving kindness of God is better than anything this world can give us. Verse 4. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I'll praise you for as long as I live. If a Christian can't do anything else, they can still honor God with praise. Praise is something God's people should do until the moment that they die. And if we can't think of anything to praise God for, we can praise him that because he likes it, and praise it because it's the right, praise him, I should say, because it's the right thing to do. Verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. So that's the satisfaction that comes from walking with the Lord and worshiping him, because that's what we're made to do. And there's nothing like a good meal. You know how satisfying that is. The feeling is great. When you finish a great meal, boy, that's a satisfying feeling. Well, praising God and fellowshipping with God through Jesus Christ results in that same sort of satisfaction, only it's in the spiritual realm. 6. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. And you know you have a heart for God when you think about him when you go to bed, and if you wake up in the middle of night, and when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about God. That's when you know you have a heart for God, when he's on your mind, basically. In other words, God is a priority with those who are right with him, who know him. 7. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. He thinks about how good God has been to him. You know, when some Christians think about God, they think only about the things that God has not given them. It's much better to think about all the things that God has given us. Verse 8. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. My soul clings to you. Cling to God with your soul is the principle here. Cling to him with your soul. In other words, no matter what happens and no matter what disappointments come your way, cling to God with your soul. Don't ever let anything steal your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 9. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. One of the benefits of hanging in there with Jesus Christ is that one day all your troubles will be behind you, and all who trouble you will be taken away. And that day the troublers are the ones who are going to be troubled. Verse 10. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. Those who do bad things to God's people will in the end experience nothing but bad themselves, because God is a God of justice. Verse 11. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Someday there will be no liars. The mouths of liars will be shut. I suppose because there won't be anything to lie about. Not for them. There won't be anything to lie about. And besides, in hell, where all liars will be, according to Scripture, there's not going to be anybody interested in listening to their lies. They're not going to be interested in telling lies, and there's not going to be anybody listening to, or who would be even interested in listening to the lies if they did want to tell them. Because they're all going to be in too much horrible pain. Psalm 64, hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. If we don't think that something is right, then we should talk to God about it. Tell God what's on your mind. But always be respectful when you do it. You know, sometimes, I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me, but sometimes God provides answers to puzzling things while we're in the process of talking to him about those puzzling things. So it's good to just respectfully tell him what's on your mind. 2. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the noisy crowd of evildoers. The conspiracy of the wicked. You know what a conspiracy is. A conspiracy is a secret, behind-the-scenes plan to do something that is wrong. Talk about warning signs. Having to sneak around should be a red flag, a warning siren, that what you're about to do or what you're planning on doing is wrong. It has to be, otherwise why are you sneaking around? Why not do it right out in the open? You gotta sneak around behind the scenes, in the dark. Well, your conscience is telling you that it's wrong. No one has to wait to the cover of darkness to give someone a helping hand. But generally, if people want to hurt someone, they do it at night or when no one else is around. Why? Because they know it's wrong. 3. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. God compares hurtful words to arrows. If the devil and his demons can influence a person's words, they can spread a lot of misery for a lot of people. The devil uses his bad words, hurtful words, as arrows. It's the exact opposite of the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword of the devil is a hurtful word. 4. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. Sinners who use words to hurt others seem to have no fear of God, no concern at all over the fact that God hates and will judge all such words. It doesn't even seem to, occur to them. Verse 4. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. And sinners who use words to hurt others, like I said, seem to have no fear of God. And then it goes on and says in verse 5, they encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who will see them? They plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. Surely the mind and heart of man are cunning. Sinners who scheme to do evil. Very, very arrogant. And they think they're so smart. They think they've got a great plan. They must, otherwise they wouldn't go through with it. We've got a great plan. We're scheming to do this thing, and it's a great plan, and no one will discover it. But most of the time, there's a breakdown somewhere, and they are discovered. Of course, even if no one finds out, God who sees all, he has found out. Verse 7. But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. God shoots his arrows and he never misses. And so he drops his enemies. His enemies go down. The Bible says they will not stand in the day of judgment. Verse 9. All mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. On judgment day, the day of God's wrath, people will understand just how powerful and just and sin-hating he is. Then they will know. 10. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. If we're on God's side, and even though we are far from perfect, we can be, then we have nothing to worry about. Today we can enjoy that final victory by faith. Someday, we're going to enjoy it by sight. It's going to be a reality. Next time, Psalm 65. Until then, so long, everyone.